Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, you have given us your word, and we pray that you will give us the grace to hear it and to receive it, and that your Holy Spirit will bring the message to our hearts and to our minds, that we may hear, respond, and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. We start with a question. Which Old Testament book is quoted 90 times in the New Testament? Which Old Testament book is quoted 90 times? The answer is the book of Deuteronomy. That surprises some people. Isaiah would probably get a top vote. But the book of Deuteronomy, frequently quoted in the New Testament. And that applies to our text today from Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses gives a very important lesson. But also the apostolic church preached that too, quoting this verse. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. Moses, in giving this message, was predicting that another prophet like him would arise from among you. And the important thing here was that the importance was that he had to be listened to. So who is this prophet that was to arise? Moses called a prophet like me. Well, negatively, it wasn't John the Baptist. People thought he was a candidate for that. The people were expecting a great prophet to come. The priests and Levites asked John, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" "No." "Are you Elijah?" "No." "Are you the prophet?" "No." And we get a positive identification in the preaching of the early church in the book of Acts, both Peter and Stephen. Peter quoted this text in a sermon that he gave following the healing of a lame man. And Stephen also quoted this text in his address that led to his martyrdom in Acts chapter 7. So Moses predicted a great prophet to come, and Scripture teaches us unmistakably that this was Jesus Christ. We know him to be a prophet and, of course, a priest and a king. But we're looking at him as a prophet. And in doing so, we need to ask ourselves, what is the nature of prophecy? Between Moses and Christ, the prophet, there were many other prophets who proclaimed God's truth to the people. What were the essential characteristics or features of an Old Testament prophet? What was his mission? And our text today gives us three essential characteristics of a prophet. The first one is that he obeyed God's call. God would raise up the prophet, verse 15 and verse 18 in our Old Testament passage. And the significant thing is that the prophet's ministry was solely due to God's initiative. God chose, God called, God raised up the prophet to be his spokesperson. And this wasn't the prophet's choice. Often they recoiled from the task that was given to them The prophet was chosen by divine choice, by divine initiative. I think perhaps there's a lesson too today for the church today. I think that if somebody is called to a position of spiritual leadership, it's essential that it comes from a very, very strong sense of divine compulsion, and a position that you can do almost nothing else. And I think that church leaders, bishops, priests, deacons, preachers, pastors, presbyters, whatever you call them, shouldn't really decide to become ministers. The decision is by God, by His initiative, and by His divine appointment. The prophet then is someone who obeys God's call, but he's also someone who welcomes God's word. Verse 18, I will put my words in his mouth. And this is important. The Old Testament prophets were proclaiming God's word, and the responsibility today on people who proclaim God's word is to take God's words, an awesome responsibility. And the true prophet also brings God's message. And it says, he will tell them everything I command him. And there are, in this whole area of proclaiming God's truth, there are three foundational principles. Number one, God has spoken. There must be a firm, dogmatic, objective, the fact that God has spoken. And secondly, it is written. We have a record of God's message in the Holy Scriptures. And the third imperative is to preach that word. All of it. And this is God's requirement. God has spoken, it is written. Preach the word. Sometimes in today's church, in some churches, preaching has got very little of a role to play. And that's not apostolic Christianity. The apostles have devoted themselves to preaching and to prayer. And it's essential that the message of God's word is given. And it's done so from a confidence that God has spoken. God has anointed someone to proclaim that word. It is written. And that word must be preached. But having said that, there is a responsibility to the listeners. It is to him you shall listen, it says in verse 15. If God's word is proclaimed, there is a responsibility to hear it, to listen to it, to obey it. This divine truth is not a thing to be dispensed with. Now let's look at the biblical prophets. They were channels of God's revelation. God the Holy Spirit spoke through them. In second letter of Peter, it says, a prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention. No prophecy comes of someone's own interpretation. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the point is that this prophetic word that we have in the Scriptures was in-breathed by the Holy Spirit. And it is God speaking to us. And to ignore the truth or to reject it or to deny it is nothing less than resisting the Holy Spirit of God who in-breathed these pages. So we must pay attention, as our text says, it is to the prophet, to him you shall listen. And the prophets indeed in the Old Testament time did proclaim God's word. Thus says the Lord, they said. There was a confidence and a firmness and an assurance as they presented the message sometimes as if Yahweh himself was the speaker. What is prophecy? The immediate thought that comes to people's mind is it's telling the future. And that's true. The Old Testament prophets did foretell the future. They foretold the first coming of Christ with remarkable accuracy, sometimes very literally. And the way they did it is absolutely astonishing. And there are, we note, prophecies that are as yet unfulfilled. That as Christ came once, he's going to come again. So the prophets, yes, they certainly told the future, and in quite a remarkable way. But if we think that prophecy is merely talking about the future, we're missing the point. The common way of expressing it is that the prophets not only went in for foretelling the future, but forthtelling. Because they had a very immediate, direct message to the people in the age in which they lived. They often talked about a forthcoming judgment, the day of the Lord, the day of doom, the day of darkness. And they brought to the people a message of repentance to avoid forthcoming judgment. But you see, we think of the prophets as telling the future, and we think about end time scenarios, and we try to think about what will happen in the future. But what are the prophets saying to us today? Let me tell you what Micah was saying. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The prophets, yes, they were concerned about God's kingdom and the future, but they were very concerned about justice and equity. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. What does the prophet Amos say? Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's the prophetic word. And that word is speaking to us today. Yes, we have prophecies about the future, about God's eternal kingdom, and so on. But he's speaking to us today. And to resist or to ignore these passages is to ignore the teaching of God's Holy Spirit, no less than that. And the prophets had this message of justice and mercy. What about the great prophet who was to come, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Several examples could be quoted, but he told the scribes and Pharisees that they were wrong because they rejected justice and mercy. So the prophetic word calls for justice, mercy, and the end of oppression. So we must remember that the prophets have got a message for today. They've got a message for every age. Now let's look at Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the words of our text in Deuteronomy. He was a prophet. Our gospel passage shows how Jesus taught with authority. Not like the religious rulers of the time. He was authoritative. He was bringing God's message, and with that authority. And this prophet was Jesus Christ. The opening of the letter to the Hebrews says, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, the radiance of the glory of God. And if we examine the texts, we see that there are, in fact, some similarities between Moses and Christ as a prophet. Both delivered from violent death in their infancy. Both had years of silent training. Both left the palace of a king to deliver people from bondage. Both mediated between God and people, and both had communion with God face to face. So there were similarities. Moses was in some respects similar to Christ. And this is a very valuable method of Bible study, because we would say that Moses was a type or a foreshadowing of Christ. And there are many, many characters in the Old Testament, many instances, many events that foreshadowed the work of Christ. And to study these types is something of very great spiritual value. We must remember, of course, that Moses was the type of Christ, and Moses was not perfect, and Christ was without sin. The type is not absolutely perfect. Moses sinned under provocation and didn't have the privilege of leading the people into the promised land. In contrast, the fulfillment of that type, Jesus Christ, gave us an inheritance. So the point is, let us listen to the prophets. Let us listen to Christ. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he urged the people to build on a rock. And that tells us of the need for prophecy. God's word is needed today. We need, and the church needs, and society needs, and the nation needs, and the world needs a foundation on which to build. A foundation for all of these. And yet, the foundations of society, I think, are being eroded. God's word being neglected or denied. And the prophet laments, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we're talking here about the very foundations. This was brought home to me last summer. Isabel and I were in England, and we were looking at some property. And we looked at the first house we looked at. We saw it online before we went to England, and new listing, no photographs available yet. So anyway, we made an appointment, went to look at it. I won't tell you the whole story, but it was a double brick structure with a cavity wall. And one of the walls in the living room had a crack. But it wasn't just a little crack like that that you could skim over. It was a crack like that. The whole wall had moved. And a friend who was with us advised us that the foundations were moving. We didn't buy it. We didn't need our friend to tell us. There were many other things wrong, but I won't go into that. But there was a house with a very, very difficult foundation. The cost to underpin the foundation and remake it would have been tens of thousands of pounds probably to do that by the time they'd excavate and do all sorts of things. But you see, I think that today society is going along without a foundation. The foundations have gone. And the prophet laments, what can the righteous do with the foundations gone? And in looking at God's word, we have to have a word of caution. In the last verse of our Old Testament lesson, it mentions false prophets. And these were the scourge of the people of God in Old Testament times. People who led the people astray, taught them wrong things, led them into idolatry. And there is such a thing as a false prophet. And I think that's true today. We need to be very careful about people who claim to have special revelations and special truth. Think how many sects and cults have been founded by people who've had such special revelations which contradict God's truth, God's word, God's prophecy. So what we need today, we need discernment to discern right from wrong. And discernment needs knowledge and understanding. And once there's discernment and knowledge and understanding, then there needs to be application of the divine truth. So my plea is for a very careful attention to the teachings of God's word. We've looked specifically at prophecy, but many other teachings of this truth, which will endure forever. And we must be careful to hear and to listen and to obey. And we need more knowledge. We need to know more about God's truth, that we may be the better able to resist false prophets who abound in our day. So may God give us the grace to do so. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left us without guidance. We thank you that your word gives us a foundation for living, a rock on which to build. And we pray that as individuals and as a fellowship, we may build on that secure rock with results that will last for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.